Our scripture lesson for our communion devotional this morning is Luke chapter 2, verses 16 through 20. As you are familiar with the Christmas story, we take up at the point after the shepherds have seen the sight in the fields and make their way to Bethlehem, and we take up at Luke 2, 16. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A woman was doing her last minute Christmas shopping at a crowded mall. She was tired of fighting crowds. She was tired of standing in lines. She was tired of fighting her way down aisles, long aisles, looking for a gift that had sold out days before. Her arms were full of bulky packages when an elevator door opened, and of course, the elevator was full. But the occupants of the elevator grudgingly tightened ranks and allowed a small space for her and her load. As the doors closed, she blurted out, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." A few others nodded their heads or grunted in agreement. Then from somewhere in the back of the elevator came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they already crucified him." Now someone might rebut. Jesus was not born, crucified and resurrected so that retailers' income can be boosted during the because of Christmas sales. And most of us in this room have groaned over commercializing of Christmas, all the while participating in it. There's an easy solution. We can outlaw Christmas. It's been done before in this nation. First, Christmas was outlawed in England by the Puritans under Oliver Cromwell. He thought celebrating Christmas was a heathen celebration, and so it was illegal until the British monarchy was restored in 1660. Christmas was also outlawed by the Puritans in New England. The following law was passed in Massachusetts in 1659. Quote, "Whoever shall be found observing any such day as Christmas and the like, either by forbearing labor, feasting, or any other way, shall pay for such offense 5 shillings as a fine to the country." End quote. The best I could find, I tried to see what that would be according to today's money, and the best I could find was that in 1865, which of course was some 200 years later, would be about somewhere around $150 fine. So perhaps double that. So about equivalent of a $300 fine if you celebrated Christmas. The law remained on the books for 22 years, and Christmas was not declared a legal holiday in Massachusetts until just before the Civil War. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that a bit extreme. Though I do agree that the pre Black Friday sales were a bit overkill, I'm not ready to outlaw exchanging gifts and having family gatherings and social events with the church. So what do you do? I propose to you that you make time when you allow your heart to, like Mary, ponder the reason for the season. But again, someone might say, John, that's the problem. I don't have time. I'm in a rush. I don't have time. That's exactly why we make time. Intentionally carve out the spot. Now that's going to vary according to individuals. The manner you do it, the time of day you do it, you know, I'm not going to stand here and tell you you have to do such and such at such and such a time in order to ponder the season. The Lord speaks to different people, different times of the day, and in different settings in a most prominent way. So wherever and whenever you most can commune with the Lord, intentionally make time to ponder what Christmas means. There is an archaeologist and Bible teacher whose lectures I try to attend annually at Lake Junaluska. He lived for over 30 years in Jerusalem, teaching at the university in Jerusalem, and is very trusted by Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike in that part of the world, as well as the Bedouins who still dwell in the desert. This professor gives tours of the Holy Land, and his don't go to all the main sites. He takes folks off the beaten path, experiencing the deserts and the like of where Jesus is believed to have walked. And he interacts with the Bedouins quite a bit and takes the tourists to do the same thing. Well, on one trip, the professor knew that he was going to be coming back through that same area where some Bedouins were residing in just a couple of weeks. And there was a family he had known for many years, and a little boy that he had watched grow up was now 12 years old. And so the professor got permission from the father to take the little boy back to Jerusalem with him. The little boy had never experienced electricity, indoor plumbing, etc. Everything you think about a nomad living in the desert, this was what this little boy grew up with. And so he saw the TV and he just channel surfed. He was just taking it all in. And then he said, "What's this thing?" And they said, "That's a telephone." And he'd pick up, "What do you do with that?" He said, "Well, you dial a number, you talk to somebody." He said, "Dial a number." So they dialed a number. He said, "This is Amon." He hung up, dialed another number, and just taking everything in. And so when they went back, the father was wise. He didn't ask the son, "What did you do?" He said, "Son, how did you feel?" And the little boy said, "Daddy, we ran so fast, we went so fast that my heart, my soul, could not keep up with my body." For some of you, it's not Christmas unless you get in the hustle and the bustle and the horn blowing and everything of the crowd. Some people are like that. More power to you. That's nothing wrong with that. Some of you, the hustle and the bustle energizes you. Others of you are drained by it. Either way, most of us will be caught up in the hustle and bustle to some degree. But Christmas doesn't have to get lost. We can still ponder, we can still remember what this season is all about. Make time. Be intentional about it. Make time to allow your soul to catch up with your body so that even in the midst of all of the hustle and the bustle and the craziness and the over commercialization of the season, we still remember. We remember that God was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, who was born as a baby. And yes, did everything babies do. Mary had to change her clothes because Jesus spit up. Jesus took his first step. Jesus cried when he was hungry. Jesus wet his diapers. Jesus was born as a baby, but he grew to be a man who revealed to us through his life and through his teachings the nature and the character of God, so that he would say in the Gospel of John, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he died on the cross as the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sin. And he was resurrected, defeating our most dreaded enemy, death. So if you figured out how to avoid the hustle and the bustle of the season and still get all your Christmas presents and everything bought, great. But if you get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of the season, don't curse Christmas. Do what you got to do. But make time to remember. Remember the baby. Remember the man. Remember the sacrifice. Remember the victory. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, it is so easy even for those of us who love you and attempt to serve you to get caught up in all of the stuff of the season and to forget why we have the season. Lord, help us not to do that. Show us when and how that time is for each of us, that we can take time to commune with you, that we can allow the soul to catch up with the body, and that we can remember the season and even in the traffic, experience the joy, because we remember what this season is all about. Your love sent to us in the person of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.